And good evening once again, everybody. Welcome to another Hoops HD Championship Week video notebook. Hoops HD, where we have been supporting the team of the people all season. Before we even get into anything else, David, we did it.
Yes, we did. Oh, yes, a ticket has been punched, a postseason ticket. Now, this assumes that they don't get an invite to the NCAA tournament. They are eligible. 8 of the 10 committee members have to vote for them. But NJIT will be playing in the postseason, and unless they're invited to the NIT or the NCAA, which isn't likely, they're going to be playing at home. We did it. Congratulations to the NJIT Highlanders. First Division I postseason tournament ever.
Yeah, I mean, this is something we started this before the season even started, our very first podcast, our preseason previews. We said, this team belongs in the CIT. They'll finish with a winning record. Then they get that win. We adopt them as our team. They get that win over Michigan. They had a great regular season, finished 18-11 after a win over Howard tonight to conclude the regular season. Coincidentally enough, it was actually at home. It was kind of a strange situation here. It was supposed to be down in D.C. Howard's president, new university president, is being inaugurated this week, and so Howard's gym was not available, and they moved the game up to Newark instead. But
that's fantastic.
Yeah. So they got a game, extra home game tonight. They won that game in front of a stoked crowd of about 10 people that found out the game was at home. But that was our game of the day today. We once again mentioned that NJIT belongs in the CIT, belongs having a home game. We tweeted it out to College Insider this morning. And what happens this afternoon? The announcement comes out.
Yes.
They gave them the bid. So thank you to the CIT. We've been pushing this all year.
They deserve it. I mean, they deserve it for more. They earned it on the court. They really had their profile warrants a CIT bid. But on top of that, their situation and how far their program has come, given how much has been working against it, they deserve this. I'm so happy for them. I hope they get a few rounds in. I hope they win the whole thing.
And that's what I wanted to get to, David. Now that we got our team in, dare we dream? We think it could happen and they could cut down the nets and not only make the CIT 5 more games, can they win it?
I think so. We'll see. They're hosting the first game, and it's just win in advance after that. We'll see, because I don't think this is a bracketed tournament until really the quarterfinals, is it?
No, they don't actually bracket it. They will announce after each round. They announce the next round's matchups. They tend to keep teams near home, so you're probably going to be playing a New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York team. Somebody that is not that far away from them. So we'll see what their matchup is. We probably won't know that until Sunday night, March 15th. But the game will be March 16th, 7 p.m.
Yes.
I'm not certain I can make it up there, but I'm trying to see if I can rearrange my schedule here.
Okay, great. I'd love to make it up there as well.
But let's turn to the real reason we're here, and this is our Championship Week video notebook where we go and review the day's games, start with the next day's games. And last night, David, you got assigned your team to root for the entirety of Championship Week.
Yes.
And starting off in the America East, your team is the Maine Black Bears, and I think we can pull it up here on the screen share. Let's see what we can do.
Let's see. But, yes, the Maine Black Bears had a little bit of a disappointing season, but I was optimistic coming into tonight. I got to tell you, Chad, these officials were horrible.
Yeah, well, what the hell happened here, David? Because if you can focus in on my screen right here, we see the brackets and 83-66, not Maine.
Yeah, I mean, it was it was just kind of disappointment. I'm still trying to get over it. It was pretty rough. Not the best evening.
And I also noticed a major article here on the web about the game. There was some type of ruckus here going on.
I don't know if there was. I'm not so sure what you're talking about. Like it was.
Let me just get it up here on my the screen also here.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you don't need to do that. It's
Here we go, David. Let's see what we could do here about getting this up.
Well, it's it.
Chad, and there we go.
You don't have to have that up there. You really don't have to.
Hoops HD's David Griggs, while highly intoxicated, disrupts broadcasts of Maine versus Albany and forcibly ejected. For those that tried to watch this game, the first 10 minutes of the game were not streamed. David, we now know why. Well, how many times do I have to tell you this?
Well, okay, I mean, this is kind of unfair. I mean, okay, here's what I went to the game. And I was trying to walk down to where the broadcast, and again, this was at Albany. This would have never happened at Maine. And I go down there, and I'm trying to tell them about how awesome Maine is. Like, this is the broadcasters, and, you know, big star from Hoops HD. I'm trying to help them out. And they were basically acting like I had no business there, and were telling me to sober up, and calling security. And it was just, I just can't believe some people. And yet, that I'm the one that gets thrown out, as if I'm not supposed to be there.
Well, David, we're gonna have to work on some things here, and I know we're gonna have a hearing for you next week. If I could try to get that adjourned till after championship.
How did they get this in the paper so fast?
Oh, they're pretty good up there in Albany. That's actually my hometown. Yes. I was born up there, so.
Well, that explains it.
Besides this game that you got thrown out of, there were a few other games tonight. Vermont, the number 2 seed, also cruised over UMBC. The game was never even close. The other two games were both fairly close. Stony Brook and Binghamton were close for the half. Beginning of the second half, Stony Brook started to pull away, but then Binghamton got back and actually had a couple shots to tie very late in this game.
I mean, this was a pretty good game. I was surprised because I thought Stony Brook would kind of run away from them, but they didn't. Binghamton has hung in there. They've come a long way, really, since we kind of touched on this last night. They had won the conference, but since then they had all that probation, and they're still recovering it from that, but at least they're formidable in the league. They're not the doormats anymore. And then the other game, how about this game? This New Hampshire-Hartford game. What a game, and in all seriousness, what an exciting couple of days we've had. And I know that a lot of these are low-profile opening round games of teams that are very, very under the radar, even by under-the-radar standards. But, I mean, the excitement and, like, the emotion and the intensity of just the first couple days. And I watched this game, I mean, after I got thrown out of Maine Albany, I was able to watch this on my smartphone and you know, as well as keeping up with the other one. But did you watch this? I hope you got to see this and some of the other ones we're going to talk about here in a little bit later. This was just a great game. New Hampshire's first ever, hosting a conference tournament game of any kind. Much of that has to do with how bad they were and just the format of the conference before. But it was rammed full. It was back and forth. What a great game this was.
This was amazing. It was an amazing atmosphere. They were literally packed in there, people sitting on stairs, people hanging off of the rafters to watch this game. There was zero room. The cheerleaders, the mascot, didn't even have anywhere to sit because of how many seats were taken up in this game. And it was a great game, back and forth. Hartford started looking like they're going to pull away a bit. New Hampshire stormed back, took a lead. Committed an absolutely stupid foul at the end of regulation that let Hartford tie it to go overtime, but they were able to pull it out in OT by 4 points there. And great for New Hampshire. It was just, you know, this was probably the most exciting basketball game in the state of New Hampshire probably since Dartmouth made the NCAA tournament 50 years ago.
And you're not exaggerating. And we're not saying that to belittle. They've never won a conference tournament game in their home state. Never. So good for them. And, you know, they're in the semis. Granted, it's a very tall order going up against Albany, but they're one away from the championship game now.
And honestly, all four of these games had very nice crowds there, electric crowds, really excited about it. And this is what's great about the home court format here. You get these electric crowds for the most part. We were a little disappointed in the Patriot League and the Horizon first-round games, but these quarterfinals were great. The quarterfinals last night and the A-Sun were great. And let's move right on over to the Northeast Conference, as I'll pull that right up on the screen here, because four more great crowds here in these four quarterfinals tonight.
Yeah. We said that, and again, we had been talking about this all along. We've really been looking forward to the Northeast Conference tournament. It did not disappoint. Again, the St. Francis, Pennsylvania kind of pulled away from Mount St. Mary's. But other than that, all three of these. I'm sorry, Robert Morris Wagner. That was the one.
Robert Morris pretty much dominated that whole game against Wagner. SFPA Mount St. Mary's was really close to the half. The second half, the Red Flash just pulled away. I kept waiting for Mount St. Mary's to storm back like they did last year against SF Brooklyn when they had about a 25-point deficit that they overcame in the last 10 minutes of that game, but didn't happen.
Now, this Battle of Brooklyn had me a little nervous. We really like St. Francis Brooklyn. Great story. Never been to the tournament. Finished first. Going up against the 8th place team, you wouldn't think it was much of a challenge, but Long Island, actually, which is located in Brooklyn, I don't know how that works, but they kind of pulled away, they kind of sprinted out to an early lead, and St. Francis had to come back a little bit, and then even when it looked like, okay, St. Francis is going to open it up, Long Island came back again and actually had a lead, I think with less than 10 minutes to go. I mean, I know the final score indicates that it was a fairly comfortable win, but it really wasn't.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't until about 3 or 4 minutes left to go that SF Brooklyn. I know this says St. Francis, New York, so shame on you, ESPN, for not getting the name right. But St. Francis Brooklyn finally did pull up a big enough of a lead to run out the final few minutes of the game. But it was back. It was nervous there, and you just kept thinking, "Can they hold on? Can they hold on?" What happens now is we move on to the semifinals. Brooklyn is going to go up against. We have actually the Battle of the St. Francis is now St. Francis Brooklyn against St. Francis Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Robert Morris is hosting Bryant in the other semifinal. I think we have a couple really good. I think that Robert Morris Bryant semifinal is going to be a really good one. But
yeah, and how about one of the Battle of St. Francis? Yeah. How about Bryant's Sacred Heart tonight?
This was the game of the night here. If you missed this game here, Bryant is down 3 points with about 5 seconds left, puts up a three, misses it, is able to get the rebound, and their player, I don't recall his name, puts up the three, basically a desperation three from about 10 feet outside the arc, falling down forward as he throws the ball, and somehow, at the buzzer, it goes in to tie the game. It was just an amazing shot.
Yeah.
And they end up going double overtime before Bryant wins this game. It was just a great game all across the board. And if it wasn't for the fact that we had three other really great games going on at the same time, that was probably the most difficult part about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was just high entertainment. And late in that overtime, I think it was Bryant had a 4-point lead after pulling off what seemed to be a ridiculous comeback. Sacred Heart hit what appeared to be an and one with a chance to cut it to one, but they ended up reversing the call. For a second there, I thought we were going into a second overtime.
We did go two overtimes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a third. I'm sorry.
A third overtime, yes.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was the game of the night. So,
Real interesting matchup. I think Bryant's a better team than Robert Morris, but I think that Robert Morris with the home court advantage is going to make that a real interesting game coming up. And those games are going to be coming up on Saturday.
All in the afternoon. I think all at 2 o'clock Eastern.
One's at noon. The other one's going to be at 2. They'll both be televised. So we'll have television in SFNY. Just to go quickly back to the America East, those games will be on Sunday, the next games. And those will be Albany hosting New Hampshire and Vermont hosting Stony Brook.
Okay, good deal.
The other two conferences did not play that were in action. They did not play on neutral sites. Let's start over here in the Big South. Very different atmosphere when you play at a when you play at a neutral site as opposed to a campus site.
Yeah, and it was odd. Even though that there were only three games, it was all sort of an afternoon session, which you would think, you know, prime time is just more fan friendly. But you know, here you are at noon. I don't know, but I don't. Some pretty exciting game, like the Longwood Presby game, was kind of back and forth. It looked like I thought Presby kind of had it in control, but then with about 8 minutes to go, they just kind of could not score anymore.
Right. I actually, honestly, I missed that one. You know, I do have a day job here too, but the game I did catch a bunch of was the UNC Asheville Liberty game. Liberty being the 7 seed, the 11 seed against the 6 seed, and Liberty was right in there the entire game. It wasn't until about 2 or 3 minutes left that Asheville was able to pull away in that one.
Right, and Liberty, we have seen them as I think they were the 10 seed the year they did it, but we've seen them have an awful year but end up winning the automatic bid and then almost winning in the first four a few Correct. Years back. So.
Yep, and so now we have 4 quarterfinals. The conference will be off tomorrow while they're doing the women's quarterfinals. They'll be back on Friday with these quarterfinals. You know, I mean, honestly, David, 8 teams left here. Any one of these 8 teams can win it. That's how much parity you had in this conference.
I think you've eliminated
the last 2 place teams, and everybody else can win this thing.
I think you're right. I mean, I'm not as big on Longwood as I am on everybody else. I really like the way Charleston Southern's been playing, but just about anybody could win this. I mean, it really is just kind of a cage match. Anybody can win it.
And I think we're going to have at least 3, if not 4, great games coming up on Fridays. I mean, that Radford-Winthrop game is one I've been looking forward to already also. So,
right, yeah, should be fun.
Final conference I played tonight, we'll try to get it up right here for a second. It was the Ohio Valley Conference. We had another really good game here in the first game of the night between Morehead State and SEMO.
Morehead pulling it out really just at the very end. SEMO was right in. SEMO's been kind of like when they're on, they're really good, but when you just get the feeling that this is a team that should have been better, and I'm curious to know if they would have been able to win the next one. But like you said the other night, I don't really see anybody stopping either EKU or Murray State as they go through the ladder.
Well, you got Belmont there on the bottom, who's going to be playing Eastern Illinois, who won the late game tonight. It was close game for a half, but they pretty much pulled it away in the second half. I think Belmont's going to take care of Eastern Illinois pretty easily. These games, this is kind of a bit of a segue into our preview for tomorrow night. These two games are tomorrow night. Eastern Illinois against Belmont, Morehead State against UT Martin. I think that earlier game, the Morehead State-Martin game, is the better of the two games here.
Yeah, it really is. Martin is much improved, and I know they're not good, but they're still much improved. That's how bad they used to be.
Well, David, before we get into the rest of our previews for tomorrow night, we want to pull up our survival board here, and I'm going to let you do that on your end here.
Okay, yes. We're getting to that here. Just give me – this is hard without – you got to punch in. I mean, you got to keep in mind the
survival board. I'll hit the button here. We'll get it up on your screen.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Well, no, it's just hard to access because of – The just utter importance of this document.
Okay. Again, David, maybe you could fill us in today. What, again, is the importance of this document here?
Okay, what this is, it is just like probably the it is the most reliable and like valued tool that the selection committee has. They come to Hoops HD, look at this site, and it tells them basically what they need to be doing as far as what teams they need to be taking for sure and what teams they need to be looking at. And I'm just seeing that the Mountain West here. Air Force, they don't need to be doing anything with. They're out unless they win the conference tournament. Boise State, Wyoming, Colorado State, maybe. You know, they got to look at those. And San Diego State, they need to take for sure. The reason they know that is because of this board.
Yes. So this is an incredible service we are doing for the selection committee.
Yes. I mean, it's just, it's one of the most, yeah, it really is. So
now, if we go to the top of it here, this was as of last night, we were at 308 teams remaining. Now, as of tonight, which is March 4th, and it's about 11:50 p.m. as we do this. David, we are going to give me 1 second here. We're going to hit a magic, as I hit the magic button. And we are going to be running a refresh, and we're going to run the drum roll. We still don't have our theme music for when this goes on.
Yeah, we need theme music, I mean, for a board like this. But are we ready to – okay, let's see what happens.
Ready? Here we go. We're going to hit the button and see what happens here.
And we're down to 295. And again, so
– under 300, that big step there.
Yeah, and again, like if your team was still in it today, it was the Elite 308 – You can get your Hoops HD Elite 308 t-shirts if you're one of the 308 teams that was left in the field. We're down to 295, so, and Tulsa is one of those teams. So is good Davidson.
Tulsa and Davidson are both in there. The teams that lost tonight on all the conference tournaments we just discussed have all been eliminated. We have a few other games here, so I'll flip back over to the screen here with the tournaments. In addition to the Ohio Valley coming up tomorrow night, we are going to be returning two conferences that we've seen already in action are going to be back in play again. These are games coming up on Thursday night, starting in the Patriot League quarterfinals. All four games at 7 o'clock, so again, get, you know, five computers out to watch all these games. But
yeah, I wish they would stagger them. I don't know what the... Well, I don't know. I guess they just figure there's no point in staggering them, but there is because you want more exposure.
Well, the good news is actually, in terms of championship week, tomorrow is the last real night where we're going to have a clump of games in one conference like this pretty much the rest of the way. BU's host is at Lafayette, American's at Lehigh, Navy's at Colgate, Holy Cross is at Bucknell.
I'm looking forward to that one. That I know that's the 1-8 game. Mm-hmm. It's supposedly the biggest mismatch, but all these games are really going to be good. It's been an exciting season in the Patriot, if you like parity.
Yeah, there's been a lot of parity in this conference. I mean, I think the winner of this conference tournament, no matter who it is on their way to Dayton for the first four, but... I think we have four really good games here. I agree with you tomorrow. My pick to win the tournament is still Lehigh, and I think they beat American tomorrow night. But I would not be shocked to see that game go the other way also.
Right.
We are also going to be back in action in the Atlantic Sun tomorrow night as we the first conference to reach the semifinal round for this season as Lipscomb is going to be at North Florida and Upstate is going to be at Gulf Coast in a pair of very interesting games. I'm actually very excited about these games.
Really good games. It's a bus league, I think. Upstate got on their bus and made the 11-hour, however far away it is. But two really good games. This Upstate Gulf Coast game is going to be really good. And if North Florida holds serve, it doesn't matter if it's Gulf Coast or Upstate, it won't matter. They are going to be jacked through the roof. They were all excited for the quarterfinals. I can't imagine what they're going to be like if they get through tomorrow and get to host the championship game. Of course, if they don't, with campus sites being in effect, if Lipscomb wins that game, then we're going to have the winner of the Upstate Gulf Coast hosting it.
Right, and really, I mean, the Upstate Gulf Coast game on paper is a very even game. But I'm a little bit worried about North Florida. I always worry about these teams that have never made the field before and had this great season that they would make a slip up like this. So I'm kind of a little bit scared of Lipscomb here tomorrow night.
Yeah, it could happen. We'll see. Lipscomb again had the big win at Northern Kentucky, so they've already won one on the road.
David, three games you're not going to have to bother getting a computer out to watch tomorrow night are going to be played in the beginning at 5 o'clock in the Metro Atlantic. Three games that are not streamed anywhere. Once again, the Metro Atlantic completely blowing it in terms of video streaming for their first round games.
Why is this happening? They certainly have the capabilities to do it because the rest of the tournament's either streamed or on television. Why not the opening round?
It's they are doing the women's tournament at the same site. They are not streaming the women's opening round, which was actually is going to be played in the morning tomorrow.
Yes, it's the six women's games in one day.
And the women's quarterfinals, which will be played on Friday. The conference will be back in action again on Saturday with the quarterfinals. That's when they start streaming through ESPN3. I thought this year when they moved out of Massachusetts and put it on campus at Siena has been streaming it through a pay site, but has been streaming all their home games this season through their website. But they are not going to be streaming tomorrow night's game at home against Niagara.
No, this is a league office decision. I don't know that, but what else could it be? They have the capabilities to do it because they stream the rest of the tournament. Presumably these same people and the same equipment are already there. There's nothing gained from not putting these games on. Last year, we heard your cries and we came through. We put it on for you. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that this year.
No, unfortunately, we were not able to just dispatch Lee Del Vecchio to Albany this year. So, if you want to do anything about these games, you maybe you could pick up a radio feed for one of them, but let's briefly talk about them. Siena, Niagara, St. Peter's, Fairfield, Quinnipiac, Marist. I like the St. Peter's team coming into the season. They really disappointed me this year, and now they're playing in an opening round game.
Yeah, they did finish their season with a win over Iona, and right. They almost won at Iona earlier in the year. They actually kind of blew that game. So their ceiling is high enough to where it is there, but I don't see them. I think they win tomorrow, no problem, but I don't think they go any further. The game that interests me is this Siena-Niagara game. I think Siena wins it. They're at home, and I know we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but we have to. This is – you can almost feel it. It's in the story. It just seems like what is destined to happen is Iona is done the day after tomorrow.
Yeah, I really think so. I mean, honestly, I saw Niagara play. I went to live to see them play against Monmouth. I was very unimpressed with Niagara's team, which is why I really think Siena is going to win this game. I think Siena beats Iona in the quarterfinals also. I agree with you. In the end, I think Manhattan gets your automatic bid out of this conference.
Yeah, I agree. I think so. They got it last year. They've been playing well. I realize that their record isn't as impressive and their profile isn't, but that's who I think is ultimately going to win this. And I don't. Are we being too hard on Iona? Have we just seen it too much in the past to where we're making assumptions that it's going to happen again?
I agree. Right. I'd agree with you. No, if they get past the quarterfinal, I think they're going to go all the way. I think that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like saying that their quarterfinal game may be their toughest game in this tournament, but that might
be true. Because of themselves.
Yeah. One other conference kicking off tomorrow that we have not yet discussed, and this actually is a big one, David. The first round games in the Missouri Valley Conference are going to be played tomorrow evening.
Arch Madness.
Well, actually, for most people, actually, this will be this evening, but you know, Thursday evening. Yeah. Our two first round games: Southern Illinois against Missouri State, Drake against Bradley, to determine which two teams will get their butts kicked by Wichita State and Northern Iowa coming up on Friday.
Yeah, I was disappointed in Southern Illinois. They had a really strong finish to the season last year, and they had a lot of people back. I think on one of those preseason podcasts, I said I felt that they were a team to watch for. They were not. Again, this tournament really does put on a show. I mean, it is in St. Louis. It's centrally located. I know earlier we were talking about how we like campus sites. This is one that doesn't have to do that because 90% of the time, their first place team is inside the bubble. This year, it has two teams inside the bubble. Having said all that, it is a very uninteresting opening round.
It's an uninteresting opening round, David, but let's kind of look at it a little bit further down the line here as we preview this conference tournament because it's the first time we have discussed it. Those other two quarterfinals that don't involve opening round opponents both look like great games to me that are going to come up on Friday. But the question is, can one of those teams, Illinois State, Evansville, Indiana State, or Loyola, Chicago, pull off an upset and make the finals and possibly steal a bid from somebody here?
The way it's possible, but I just don't think so. I mean, having watched this league all year, those two are just so far ahead of everybody else, Wichita and Northern Iowa. I don't think it is.
And I guess what it also comes down to is even if either one of those two, the two big teams, Wichita or Northern Iowa, gets upset in the semifinals, well, you know, are they going to get up? Is that team that pulls off the upset going to be able to beat the other one in the finals? And I don't see that happening.
I mean, it really is running the gauntlet. So,
do you have a pick here?
Northern Iowa.
I'm going to agree with you. I think Northern Iowa wins this tournament also, but and that will give them the higher seed. Even though Wichita finished above them in the standings regular season, winning 2 out of 3 against Wichita will give them a higher seed in the NCAA tournament also.
Right.
All right, David. Anything else we want to discuss here? That it does conclude our list of games for tomorrow in terms of the conference tournaments. Actually, I did want to bring up a couple of quick points about tomorrow's schedule and in terms of our survival board. We could potentially have two more teams eliminated tomorrow. One out of the Sun Belt, one out of the Big Sky. Teams that may not qualify for their conference tournaments. So we'll let you know about that tomorrow night. And we also have the Mideastern Athletic Conference is concluding its regular season tomorrow night, so we will get a conference tournament bracket ups on the website after tomorrow night as well, including the final regular season game for the most important team on our survival board, the South Carolina State Bulldogs.
You have a team.
Yes, they are my team. You know what, David? We discussed this last night. We know your team lost. They lost in the second day of championship week. Lee and I discussed this. We decided we wanted to give you a backup team, an alternate team going the rest of the way. Like we discussed last night, David, just like I have a team that could potentially disappear after the season with South Carolina State, I'm going to give you one that will definitely – we're going to give you one that will definitely disappear after the season. That is Texas Pan American, the Bronx.
Whoa! All right.
As we mentioned last night, this team will no longer exist after this year. They will be renamed Texas Rio Grande Valley beginning next season.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it here.
And drum roll, please. And
we're trying to – let's see if I got it. Oh, crap. I can't.
Well, anyway,
another thing that's going on tomorrow as we're getting this set up is we're going to be doing a different variation of the bracket rundown. We have the five regular podcasters that you've seen, myself, Chad, Warren Nolan, John, and Joby. We're all going to be submitting brackets, and Chad will be tallying them up. We're not going to know what the results are going to be. It'll just be Chad is going to be the only one that knows.
I'm not even going to know.
I'm just going to
guess at them.
Yeah.
But what we're going to do is we're going to reveal it. We're going to discuss it line by line, team by team, and do it as a bracket also with the matchup set and everything. So
instead of a seed list, you're going to see a bracket on your screen, and you're going to see it being built line by line. It's going to be like Selection Sunday because I don't even know what the results are, and I'm on the committee.
It's going to be Selection Sunday, but even better.
And the thing is, unlike the survival board, the committee will be taking this bracket under advisement, but they won't. They can make changes if they want to.
Well, the big thing here is we are building this bracket, 9-10 days before Selection Sunday, so we're going to allow the committee to make adjustments based on results moving forward. Otherwise, the games will be pointless, and we'd be destroying the chances of South Carolina State and Texas Pan American from making the field.
Okay.
But on that, have a great night, everybody, and we will talk to you again tomorrow night.